Okay, we're in chapter 8 of Romans, and I'll begin reading with verse 9 and read through to verse 17. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you for your word this morning and ask that you would bless us as we have come to the word of God to hear from you, that you may minister it to our hearts, even as the Spirit of God dwells in the believer, that you may minister it to us and that we may learn of you, Lord, and that you may encourage us in our walk of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look at this passage this morning, under the title of We Cry to God, Abba, Father. Now, that is a very special term, of course, and it refers to a very familiar term in the sense of being a family term. That is, as we are brought into the family of God, as we are born again of God, the Holy Spirit, we find that we have a new relationship with God, one where we can call out to him because we are born again of God. Three areas we want to look at this morning, and I've kind of put them on the whiteboard here to not only help you, but to keep me on track as well. Because I haven't got dementia yet, but I think I'm headed that way. He says, the Holy Spirit gives life to the believer. Well, we know that God the Holy Spirit is involved in our salvation in a very real way, isn't he? And we find that as the Holy Spirit works in us and convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, we know that we are brought unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the very gospel which we have heard, that Christ himself died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he arose again, and he is even now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. So our relationship to God is important, and it is because the Holy Spirit gives life to the believer. Secondly, as we look at this passage, the Holy Spirit bears witness that we are the children of God. Well, we find that the Holy Spirit then not only indwells a believer, but the Holy Spirit confirms that relationship that we have with the Father. And so the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, sometimes people try to say things that will confuse you in your walk with God. And you may even have a little bump in the road somewhere, and you may say, well, I don't know, I'm not doing so well right now. I wonder if the Lord is still with me. Or you may at some time be challenged concerning your faith or something. But then when you stop and read the Bible and pray, and you know the Spirit of God is speaking to you, and you know the Spirit of God is within you, then there is that witness that the Spirit of God gives to you, that you say, yes, I'm a child of God. I know the Lord. I know him as my Savior. I'm walking by faith. I'm trusting in him. Well, it may be that I have a few problems along the way, but then I don't know anybody who doesn't have a few problems along the way. But the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit cries out to God, Abba, Father. It's like saying, Dear Daddy, or it's like saying, Dear Papa. We find it's a term of endearment that we have with this close relationship with God the Father, because the Spirit of God is now in us and we have a communication with the Lord. So to be born again of the Spirit of God means that that secret work of the Holy Spirit in the believer is a source of many things that bring us a sense of life, hope, and peace. Life, hope, and peace, because we find that God is life unto us. He quickens our mortal bodies that we might have life in the Spirit. Because the person of the Spirit of God is at work, we enjoy the blessing of His presence. Yes, His presence is with us. And we're able to experience that life of God, God's only begotten Son, in our very lives. And so by the Holy Spirit, our spirit is witnessed to. Our spirit is witnessed to. And it confirms in us that we have a relationship with the Father and the Son. When we are in need, what do? But we call upon the Lord. The witness of God is in us. And so we call out to God in prayer. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who were under the blessing of God because of a promise made to Abraham, we have another kind of a promise. We have a promise in Jesus Christ our Lord because of the New Testament in His blood. A promise that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And so this new promise, this New Testament in His blood is one that confirms in our hearts these wonderful things, that we are not only born again of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God bears witness with us, and the Holy Spirit of God gives us a certain prayer that we pray, even an intimate relationship, which is to God the Father. And we cry out to Him, Abba, Father. So we'd like to look at these several areas here this morning. First of all, the Holy Spirit gives life to the believer. Let's look at verses 9 to 11. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Well, when you get up this morning, you probably thought you was in the flesh. That is, you have your body, you have to put on clothes, you have to clean yourself and get ready and so forth. So really, this is a term which means that we're no longer of the world, of the flesh in the world, but we're of the Spirit. But ye are not in the flesh, you're not walking after the dictates of the flesh, but you're walking after the dictates of the Spirit, in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. You see, the Spirit of God is that which identifies, brings identity to us. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So obviously, this is showing a contrast to you here. Though the work of the Spirit of God, or through that work, Jesus is now in the believer. In the believer. And so we read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Christ is in you by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ is in you. And that is a mystery which was hidden from ages past. You see, in the Old Testament, the church was the congregation of the people of Israel. That was the Old Testament idea of the church. But it wasn't the New Testament principle of the church. That was quite unknown to the Old Testament saint. It wasn't until Jesus came, and that He came to die for the sins of the world, and that He came to give that message of Him, of Himself, that He came to bear the sins of many, and that He came to redeem His people from their sin, that He would shed His blood upon the cross, and that by grace, through faith, are you saved? That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, we're living in the age of grace. Grace. Not, we're not living under the covenant of the law, though the law is good, though the law is there for a reason, though the law shows us the holiness of God and the righteousness of God. No, we live under the grace of God, under that grace which God has established by His own beloved Son. And that is a mystery. It is a mystery unknown to the Old Testament saint, but has been revealed to us, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because the Holy Spirit indwells the believer, we have been given the promise of future glorification with Christ. Verse 10 and 11, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Well, you see, the body will die. We know that we are destined to go back to the dust. We can't help that. That everybody will perish as far as the natural body is concerned. But because of the Spirit of Christ in you, because of the Spirit of life in Christ and the righteousness of Christ, you see, you have that life of the Spirit. And that is of God. In verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and that Spirit is God the Holy Spirit, He dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. So the Spirit of God is going to quicken your mortal body, and you too will rise again by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. You see, God has destined us that we will rise again. That is, this natural body, this corrupt body, must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Well, we can't read the whole chapter, can we? Don't have time for that. And besides, that clock will give me plenty of time. It's stopped. It's frozen. So, but I've got my watch here, so I'll try to keep on track of time. But we find that our mortal body must put on immortality. And so if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, which dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body, or make it alive, your mortal body by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 11 is a kind of a very important verse for us to remember here. The fact that the body is still subject to death needn't cause any great alarm or despair. The fact that the Holy Spirit indwells our bodies is a guarantee that as He raised up Christ from the dead, so He will also give life to our mortal bodies. This will be the final act of our redemption. The final act. Right now, we are brought into the family of God by the Spirit of God. We are awaiting that future glorification. That final act of redemption, if you will, or glorification, will be when our bodies are resurrected unto eternal life. When our bodies are glorified like the Savior's body of glory. It was interesting, the two on the road to Emmaus, or was it the three? I guess it was Jesus made the third one. But when they were on the road to Emmaus there, they didn't recognize Jesus. His body was somehow changed. He had a glorified body, and he was somehow changed. And I think everybody's waiting for the glorified body, aren't we? We aren't told exactly what that's going to look like, but we're very hopeful, aren't we? We're very hopeful. And we know that there has to be something really pretty good, because God is behind the whole thing. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Well, the glorified body Jesus has, we're going to have one just like it. According to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. You see, Jesus is able to do it. God is going to do it. Because, well, He's God. He's God. And He is able to do that. How wonderful to know that we shall be like Him when we shall see him as he is. And so we're going to see the Lord Jesus in his glorified state. We're going to have a glorified body, as just as he has a glorified body, and that we are going to have that future glorification with our Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Oh, there's another good one, right? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see. So there is some good information there for us. We're going to be like Christ. We're going to have a glorified body like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is a wonderful thing to keep in mind. We shall bear the image of the heavenly with Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:49 says, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So right now we are bearing the image of the earthy. Each one of us have the image of a natural body which God has allowed us to possess. But we will have the image of the heavenly, a glorified body. We will have that. Secondly, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, bears witness that we are the children of God. And so as God bears witness that we are his children, he does it by his own Spirit in us. That same Spirit that I was just talking to you about, that God has given to us, that guarantees that you're going to be resurrected with a glorified body, is that same Spirit that bears witness in you, that you are a child of God. You see, no matter what anybody else says, the Spirit of God in you is going to give testimony that you are a child of God. It's irrefutable. Because we are born from above by God, we owe nothing to the natural, sinful nature of the flesh. See, we owe nothing to the natural, sinful nature as far as this eternal aspect of our life is concerned. The eternal aspect of our glorification. That isn't because we have a natural body. No, it is because we have a spiritual body in Christ. We are rather required to live to Christ because of this. In John chapter 1 and verse 12 and 13 it says this, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, and this is the important part, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, that goes back to the Spirit, you see. The Spirit of God does that work inside of us. It is not by the natural body or the natural blood or the natural will. No, it is by the Spirit of God that takes place. We are rather required, as believers, to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We have a problem with that natural body. And it wants to take control of our lives, but we have to keep it in place. In verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We are debtors to Christ, not to the natural body. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. Well, not die naturally, but die spiritually as well, if you just live after the flesh. There are a lot of people living after the flesh, you see. They're just living for now. They eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow they're going to die, and they think I'm only going to be down 6 feet underground, and that's it anyway. So they're just enjoying life what they can right now. But see, that is to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die physically and spiritually. The body, that's what God says. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Well, what does that do for us? Well, that helps us to understand that living after the Spirit of God is a greater reward. The reward of living after the flesh is is nothing. Nothing but what you can get right here. But to live after the Spirit of God is to have a glorified body and to be glorified with Christ. Now see, that is what we are to do. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So he reaffirmed that statement here, saying, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So that just kind of tells you, in a real way, as you walk with Christ, as you live out your life in the Spirit, that you are doing it for a purpose. And the purpose is that you might be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Seems like I had another comment here to make. Oh, yeah. In verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You see, our hope of salvation is in Jesus. We no longer live under the spirit of bondage and in fear because of the law of sin, but rather we live under Christ. In Romans 8:15, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, he says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba is an Aramaic word, which is used here, employed by Paul. And as I understand, Paul uses this sense in other places. But we find that using this particular word and the practice of communicating in this particular way is a greater emphasis upon our spiritual life. And the underlying Greek term for adoption occurs four other times in the New Testament in Paul's letters. And I could give you the references at 8:23, 9:4, Galatians 4:5, Ephesians 1:15. There are several other places that this particular term is used and common among the Greeks and Romans. Well, there's a particular account, the adoption granted the adopted sons all the privilege of the natural born son, including inheritance rights. Paul, however, went further, explaining that such legal rights were no guarantee of familial affection, whereas the Spirit of God's family assures it. So Paul therefore complemented the legal privileges of the child's adoption into God's family with a picture of this family adoption, which he is talking about here, the sense of Abba, Father. And it expresses a close relationship to God. It is akin to a kind of intimacy, saying Papa or Daddy. And through adoption, God's love for his own son now becomes his adopted children. Children are adopted sons by grace. Christ, however, is God's son by nature. You see, Jesus wasn't adopted. No, Jesus had a divine nature. We did not have a divine nature. And so we are adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so again, in verse 15, ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So when we believe on the Lord Jesus and by his Spirit washed from our sins, we then are adopted sons of God. And we cry out to God, Dear Father, our Heavenly Father. And even in a very, very familial way, we could say Papa. Well, I think actually that's one of the terms they use for the Pope, is Papa. It is, yeah. Because, you know, the faithful, the Catholic, Roman Catholic faithful call him that because he is supposed to be the vicar of Christ, the spokesman for Christ on earth. But we won't go there. That's not what we're talking about here. The only one that we're going to recognize is our Heavenly Father. He is our Abba Father and the one that is we refer to in that manner. In Galatians chapter 4:6, it says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That was Galatians 4:6, so it reaffirms it there. Also in Mark 14:36, this one you might have remembered, Mark 14:36, Jesus used this term, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Jesus used the term, Abba, Father, when he was in the garden praying. He used that term. Well, not because he was adopted, but because he was truly the Son of God. He was the only begotten Son of God. He could use that term. We use it because we are adopted into the family of God. Adam Clark, in his commentary, makes this statement. It has been remarked that slaves were not permitted to use the Aramaic term Abba Father or Imma for mother in addressing their masters or mistresses. The Hebrew canon relative to this is extant in the tract Berakoth. Men servants and maid servants do not call their masters Abba, Father, nor to their mistresses Imma, Mother. And from this some suppose that the apostle intimates that being now brought from under the spirit of bondage, in which they dare not call God their Father, they are not only brought into a new state, but have got the language which is peculiar to that state, being able now to say, Abba, Father. It is certain that no man who has not redemption in the blood of the cross has any right to call God Abba, Father, but merely as he may be considered the Father of the spirits of all flesh. So this is stated as being a very special term by all serious commentators and theologians, that Abba, Father. And Jesus used it himself. And Paul said this was something that we are now able to use to call upon God as our Abba, Father. Because we are brought into the family of God and we are adopted sons. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, reading further, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So this takes us on to the last statement here. The Holy Spirit cries out to God, Abba, Father. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. So because of this relationship, the Spirit of God dwells in us. The Spirit of Christ dwells in us. Because of this relationship, the Spirit also bears witness with our spirit. That Holy Spirit bears witness with us that we are the children of God, you see. And that same Holy Spirit cries out to God, Abba, Father. Now, when we pray, we may not think of that. But if we understand that God, the Holy Spirit, who indwells each believer, we don't often know what to say, do we, when we call upon the Father? We sometimes stumble over words and don't know quite how to articulate the things we want to express. But the Spirit does. The Holy Spirit knows how to do that. And the Holy Spirit cries out to God, Abba, Father. That's what the Holy Spirit seems to cry out. And we should recognize that this is a very important term that is being used. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Glorified together. Of what glory does he talk about? To serve Christ, and even to suffer for Christ, is a small thing, and it is only temporary. But when we are at last with Christ, it is an eternal weight of glory. So what glory is he talking about? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:17 says this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. An eternal weight of glory. Not an eternal weight of burden, No, there's no burden that because Christ has taken our burdens, our sins. He has taken that. The Spirit of God dwells in us. The Spirit of God affirms that though we might suffer in this present age, we know that when we go to be with the Lord, it will be an eternal weight of glory. That is, glory awaits us. It awaits us. The witness of God and His Spirit is that we are the children of God. And because we are His sons, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Our place of sonship and fellowship means that no matter what we suffer on behalf of Christ, we shall be glorified with Him in that future day when we go to be with the Lord. So no matter what we suffer here, that isn't the important thing. What we will receive when we go to be with the Lord, that is the important thing. We will be glorified with Christ. We will have a glorified body. We will know Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The Zondervan New Testament commentary makes this comment, "Beareth all things with our spirit, expresses the inner testimony of the Holy Spirit to believers, relationship to Christ. The children of God, the sons of God, are synonymous terms in Paul's letters." And so the witness of God and His Spirit is that we are the children of God. And because we are His sons, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Our place of sonship and fellowship means that no matter what we suffer on the behalf of Christ, we shall be glorified with Him in that future day. And so Romans 8:17, verse 17, "And if children, then heirs." We are children of God by His Spirit. We are children of God. We are heirs of God. That is, God has brought us into His family. We are joint heirs with Christ. The Spirit of Christ dwells in us. And we will be glorified with Christ. We will have the glorified body, which we know that Christ also bears. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. And so we will be glorified together with Christ. And of course, this is a great blessing indeed. A great blessing. And so as we kind of wrap this session up, I guess we're just about on time here. We find that these three areas then stand out to us in our walk with God. They stand out because without the Spirit of God, we're still in the body. We're still in the flesh. We still want to do the dictates of the flesh. But if we have the Spirit of God, we don't have to yield to the dictates of the flesh. Therefore, it says, mortify the deeds of the flesh that you will not have be under its control. And so we are to destroy the deeds of the flesh. How do we do that? By yielding to the Spirit of God. And so the Holy Spirit bears witness that we are the children of God. And so we have to keep checking with God on this matter, don't we? Keep referring back to the Lord and say, Lord, how are you working in my life today? And he'll answer. He'll give you a witness in your spirit. He'll do it by reading the scriptures. He'll do it by your time in prayer. He'll do it by your reflection and meditation upon Him. In Jesus Christ, he'll confirm those things to you. That witness is born with us. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit then cries out to God, Abba Father. So the Holy Spirit does this. Well, it doesn't do any harm if we use the words. But we know that if we have that right relationship with God, the Spirit of God is also crying out to God the Father in this manner. Because we are a part of the family of God. We are joint heirs. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Let us pray together. Loving Father, we do thank You for Your word to us. Pray You will bless us as we are encouraged because of the Spirit of God's work in us and the witness of the Spirit of God in us and of the Spirit of God and how that the Spirit of God would cry out unto the Father. Abba, Father. Bless, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.